Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. You have had your times of conviction, and you are trying to say now, there is no hell, there is no hereafter, it will not do. You know there is a hell, and all the laughter of those who seek to ruin your souls cannot make you believe that there is not. And you sometimes try to think so, but you know that God is true, and I do not argue with you now. Conscience tells you that God will punish you for sin. Depend upon it. You will find no happiness in trying to stifle God's Spirit. This is not the path to bliss, to quench those thoughts which would lead you to Christ. And I beseech you, take off your hands from God's arm. Resist not to still his Spirit. Bow the knee and lay hold of Christ and believe on him. It will come to this yet. God the Holy Spirit will have you. And I do trust that in answer to many prayers, he intends to save you yet. Give way now. But oh, remember, if you are successful in quenching the Spirit, your success will be the most awful disaster that can ever occur to you. For if the Spirit forsake you, you are lost. And it may be that this is the last warning you will ever have. The conviction you now are trying to put down and stifle may be the last you will ever have. And the angel standing with the black seal and the wax may be now about to drop it upon your destiny and say, let him alone. He chooses darkness. He chooses lists. Let him have them, and let him reap the wages in the everlasting fires of hell. Sinners, believe on the Lord Jesus. Repent and be converted, every one of you. I am bold to say what Peter did. Breaking through every bond of every kind that could bind my lip, I exhort you in God's name, repent and escape from damnation. A few more months and years, and you will know what damnation means, except you repent. Oh, fly to Christ while yet the lamp holds out and burns, and mercy is still preached to you. Grace is still presented. Accept Christ. Resist him no longer. And come to him now. The gates of mercy are wide open today. Come now, poor sinner, and have thy sins forgiven. From Charles Spurgeon and his sermon, The Story of God's Mighty Acts. Many will reject the concept of there only being one way to heaven, a place that all seek and desire to go when life is over on earth. But reality will prove on the day of judgment that the only way to the Father in heaven and the only way to enjoy the blessings of entering the promised land, of entering heaven, will come through the one who came down from heaven, and after finishing the task set before him, the redemption of man and their reconciliation to God the Father. They will find themselves standing at the gates of heaven, and Jesus saying to them, away, I never knew you. That person will never have known him as Savior and Lord. And what was once an opportunity to confess, to repent, and turn from ungodly ways and accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, well, they will have passed an eternity seal set upon the name of the one standing before Jesus. One day, everyone shall come to him, and before him they shall bend a knee and bow down where they shall confess that he is Lord and to the glory of God. But what is it that only the name of Jesus can save? What is it about the name of Jesus that brings life to the dead, forgiveness to the guilty, and hope where there was none? Well, in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And Jesus has now come into the world, and he came to save mankind who already had been condemned. And with him would come great change. With him would come the new covenant. And in Jeremiah 31, God speaks to Jeremiah of this new covenant. He says, this is a covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer will they teach their neighbor to say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies, and snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, and they rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace, and they have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. God had given the law for the people. It would judge the hearts of all people. Hearts that had turned against God would in fact turn also against those who stood by and with them. And by their actions and through their rebellion, the law would serve justice. But under the new covenant, as he would give himself to ransom us through Jesus, it would not be the law that believers would live under, but under the covering of the blood that Jesus shed for us, providing the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus became the last sacrifice. No longer would there be required the slaying of animals in man's place to temporarily cover their sin. For the Lamb of God has now satisfied the debt of all mankind. And by Jesus' stripes we would be healed. By his death and resurrection, like him, those who would believe, we would pass from death into life, from knowing condemnation to tasting freedom in Christ Jesus. The sacrifice had to be perfect and found without blemish, without the stain of sin. And only Jesus, the Son of God, and now also the Son of Man, Jesus broke the chains that bind us to darkness. He conquered the power that shame and guilt held over the sinner, over us. And Jesus frees so that we can walk in the light. We can follow him. And with the coming of Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, reconciliation became a reality to those who would and will believe. Believe that he was, he is who he said he was and is, that he would do as he said he would do, and that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Because salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Because of his blood shed for us, and by his death suffered in our name, and in his resurrection to life, as we are now given such by his salvation, we now have the ways of God written on our hearts and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to lead and guide us all in all of God's ways, if we will believe. And so all people now are without excuse for what they choose to do. And in this way, the day of judgment, there will be no one with excuse, none then being able to say that they did not know these ways, these laws of God. For within each of us, within the chambers of our heart, they are now written, these righteous pillars of truth. They are conveyed to our minds, and by them we display our attitude and our beliefs. Each person knows right from wrong and what is acceptable. Our gut speaks truth to us, and we will give an account for the reasons why we chose the life we lived when eternal life through Jesus Christ was offered to us and we rejected it. Heavenly Father, sometimes the simplicity of ways makes the complication of them inevitable. We have made salvation's gift of forgiveness difficult because we want forgiveness for ourselves. But we, in turn, are unwilling to forgive others. Nor do we want to give up our wicked ways that bring us pain and suffering that we so often mistake for comfort. Perhaps the hardest of all things is putting oneself today behind you and doing what you ask of us. We have become conditioned by demand to submit to the ways of the world, but not to meet and reconcile as you have called us. Heavenly Father, the world continued on its journey today, and lives came into the world as others left it. And so, Lord, it is that we must come to you to ask your forgiveness for our sin and then make a commitment to enter into covenant with you, to know life, to arise from the sleep of death we now slumber in when we are without you in our lives. Call us to live a life more abundant with richness and a fullness that cannot be found anywhere else or by any other name under heaven. And Lord, may you continue in your calling into the darkness, that the light of Christ Jesus may shine on the path of those yet lost to this world. Lord, as the days pass, so do the opportunities both for the Christian to serve and for the sinner to step forward. And may it be so that each would hear your calling and respond, "Yes, Lord, here am I." May all glory and honor be given to the one true living God and his Son, Jesus, who is the Christ and Savior to this fallen and dying world. Amen.